Hey, you're tuned in to the Verve Podcast live from the heart of Las Vegas, Nevada. Thanks for listening, and viva la Verve!
Hello, party people. You all are the first ever 12 o'clock Verve service. Look at you. Congratulations on how special you are. Man, today we're celebrating our 6 years since we started the church. This is actually the second church I was able to get to be a part of starting. I started a church back in Virginia Beach in 1998, and before our grand opening there, we sent out postcards, and they let people know that they were invited and what to expect if they were to come. They said, no dress code, wear whatever you want, and there's going to be rockin' music, and we're going to laugh together at church, and there were top 10 reasons to check out our church, like what we've done here, our preacher will let you call him Oprah. We need more people for our violent invasion of Canada, just stupid things. And as soon as people started receiving those postcards, we started receiving upset phone calls. And so like one lady called, I answered, and she said, you're making the church sound fun. It's not supposed to be that way. She said, what are you guys doing over there? Are you throwing a party? That's not what church is supposed to be like. Today, we are concluding a 3-week series called You Say Church, I Say, and we've been exploring what is church supposed to be like. Next week, you absolutely need to be here as we're going to begin a brand new series. Nice. Almost all of you did that. And a few of you came in late and you're like, what the crap is going on? Why did that just happen? You gotta get here early and find out what's going on. So anyway, we've been doing this series for 3 weeks trying to understand what should the church be like. And we've been admitting that for a lot of people in our society, if you say church, they would say boring, exclusive, polyester suits, right? Judgmental, political, but that's not what God intended when he came up with the idea of church. Obviously, the lady who called us in Virginia Beach would not associate the word party with church. 2,000 years ago, Jesus showed up on the scene. He was God, come down from heaven to show us what God is like and how God wants us to do life and do life together. And one of the things that Jesus wanted to make sure that people understood was the church. Now, when I say church, just to make sure we're clear, I am not talking about a building where people gather to have worship services, okay? Did any of you have the grandma? I did not. I didn't have any like Christian relatives, didn't go to church. But any of you have the grandma who taught you this thing when you were a kid? She would make you put your hands together and she would say, this is the church, this is the steeple, open it up and there's all the people. That is a lie straight from hell. Okay? Your grandma lied to you. You can tell her. My pastor said, you're a liar, grandma. Here's the deal, okay? Here's the truth. This is a building. This is a steeple. She got one thing right. And you open it up, and there's the church. The church is people. In fact, the word church, we get it from a word that Jesus spoke. It was the word ecclesia. And the word ecclesia literally means the called out ones. And so the idea is the church is made up of people who have heard God's call and responded to it. God's call to live not in the ways of this world, but in God's ways and in God's love. It's people who have responded in faith to what God's called them to and are trying to live life for him and together. And Jesus called this group the church. He also, he would call it the kingdom. He would call it the kingdom. Like the idea being like people who have decided not to live by the ways of the kingdom of this world, but instead by the ways of the kingdom of God. And so we would call it the kingdom of God. Sometimes you would call it the kingdom of heaven. Not meaning just like, you know, where some people are going to go after they die, but meaning like the kingdom of heaven starts here and now. When we hear God's call and respond to it, we get to start living with like a taste of heaven now. And someday later, we're going to fully get to experience heaven after we die and go to that place. So 2,000 years ago, Jesus shows up and he starts having these conversations with people about what church was supposed to be like. And he would often have these conversations with religious leaders. It was interesting. The religious leaders were people who thought that they knew all the right opinions. And so they were always quick to share their opinions. But now, all of a sudden, Jesus is here and he's got opinions, and they don't sound like the religious leaders' opinions. And really, Jesus' opinion is the only one that counts. Like, there's this one time where they were at a dinner. The religious leaders had invited Jesus. They're all sitting around at dinner, and they have this conversation, and it turns to the topic of the kingdom of God. These people have responded to God's call, and it's really interesting. I want to show it to you. It's in Luke chapter 14. If you have a Bible, you can turn to Luke 14. If you don't have a Bible, that's totally fine, because we put the verses up on the screen for you to read. There's also a Bible in the Verve app if you've downloaded that guy, or girl, I don't know what an app is. And we also give out free Bibles. If you don't own a Bible, we'd love to give you a free one today on your way out. Just grab a Bible. So Luke 14, so there's this dinner, and Jesus' religious leaders, and they start talking about the kingdom of God, and here's what Jesus says, starting in verse 16. Jesus replied, "A certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. At the time of the banquet, he sent his servant to tell those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is now ready.' But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said, 'I have just bought a field and I must go and see it. Please excuse me.' Another said, 'I have just bought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm on my way to try them out. Please excuse me.' Still another said, 'I just got married, so I can't come.' The servant came back and reported this to the master. Then the owner of the house became angry and ordered his servant, 'Go out quickly into the streets and alleys of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame.' 'Sir,' the servant said, 'what you ordered has been done, but there's still room.' Then the master told his servant, 'Go out to the roads and country lanes and compel them to come in so that my house will be full. I tell you, not one of those who were invited will get a taste of my banquet.'" Jesus says that the kingdom of God is like a party. It's this huge banquet that this guy throws. And so he starts talking in this story, this metaphor, this parable about a certain man who throws this party. And in the story, the certain man represents God. And then there's all these people who have received invitations to the party, and the people in the story represents people. My guess is that at the time, Jesus was thinking a lot about the religious leaders who weren't really listening to what God wanted, but those people could represent us, people we know, right? And they all get invited, but they start giving reasons they can't come. Really, they're excuses, and they are incredibly lame. Right? Like one says, I just bought a field and I must go see it. What? Who buys a field without already having seen it? Really? And then another one says, I've bought some oxen and I need to try them out. Really? Like you didn't try out the oxen before you bought them? I mean, I don't know a thing about oxen, but I know I'm not going to buy one without test driving it first. Or eating part of it first. I'd be like, chop off a piece of that tail, let's make some soup, and then I'll decide if I want to eat the rest of that oxen. Then I'll buy it, right? The truth is that their excuses are not real. Like they're just not interested in going to the party. Or maybe it's just that they're too preoccupied with all the other things they have to do, and they say no. And honestly, that's the way that most people are about God. They're invited. We're all invited. But most people are just too preoccupied with other things, or they're just not interested. And so most people say no. So the certain man says, well, if they won't come, invite everyone. Compel them to come. Persuade them to come, because everyone needs to come and experience this party. And Jesus is saying the kingdom of God is like a party. It's a party. It's a celebration. It's a celebration of God and his love and the life he's given us, his love that we get to live in, his son who came for us. It is a celebration, and it should be full of joy. And you do it with friends, and there's laughter, and there's music, and there's singing. He says the kingdom of God is a party. We could say, you say church, I say party. There's another time, we find it in Matthew chapter 22, when Jesus is talking to religious leaders again. This time it's not at dinner, it's at the temple. And again, the topic of the kingdom of God comes up, and these guys all have their opinions, and Jesus shares a story to help them understand what the kingdom of God is really like. He says, it's like a certain man who throws a wedding banquet, like a big party after a wedding, and everyone is invited, but most decide not to come. They have all these lame excuses. And so the certain guy throwing the party, he invites everyone to come. And I imagine the religious leaders were like, haven't we heard this before? Like, it's the same story. And it was. And again, Jesus is making the point. He's re-emphasizing the point. Guys, you're missing it. The kingdom of God is a party. There's an interesting wrinkle when Jesus tells this story in Matthew 22. This time, he talks about how there's one particular person who shows up at the party, but he's not wearing the wedding clothes that he's supposed to wear. Instead, he's still wearing his old clothes, and so he's asked to leave the party. And you might hear that and be like, what? Like, what is that about? Is it like dress code kind of thing? No. Actually, the point Jesus is making is like this guy who shows up wearing his old own clothes represents people who think they can belong to God's family and someday get into heaven on their own merit, on their own goodness, based on their own self-righteousness. And the truth is, that won't get you in. Like, God is a perfect God, heaven is a perfect place, and we are not good enough to be a part of God's family or get into heaven. The good news is, even though we're not good enough, even though we've sinned, God loves us, and so he offers this solution. He sent his son Jesus, and Jesus, through his life and through his death on the cross, has the power to make us good enough because we don't rely on our own self-righteousness, but instead on Jesus' righteousness. And we put our trust in what he did for us on the cross, and it makes us pure and perfect in God's sight. In fact, it's interesting. The Bible talks about this. It says, when you say yes to that offer God makes, which you say yes by putting your faith in Jesus, and then you get baptized. You saw baptism in that video earlier. It's when a person's lowered underwater, and it looks like it represents a person being lowered into a grave. And the idea is that this person is putting their old life behind them, their old life that was about self and relying on my own self-righteousness, and I can do it on my own. And then they're raised up out of the water, and the idea is that they're being raised to a new life, not about self, but about God and trusting in him and in his righteousness. So here's what the Bible says. When you do that, what it says is you become in Christ. That you go from being outside to in Christ. And so it's almost like when you say yes, it's like you put Jesus on you, almost like clothes. And in the story, the only way this guy could get into the party was if he was wearing the right clothes, right? And so the idea is, man, he was invited to the party. He could have stayed at the party. He could have enjoyed the party forever if he had just accepted the invitation on the terms that it was given. But anyway, again, the point of the story, Matthew 22, is the kingdom of God, it's a party, and we need to get everyone to the party. There's another time, Luke chapter 15, where Jesus is hanging out with a bunch of really sinful people. Everyone's sinful people, but these were people who made a name for themselves, and like they're like, we're really good at sinning. And so they were known as like the most sinful people. And so they're all hanging out with Jesus. They always hung out with Jesus. The people who want to be around Jesus were the most sinful people because like he was this man of unconditional love and amazing grace. And the religious leaders, the Pharisees and teachers of the law, that's what they were called, they were all kind of hanging around the outskirts looking in going, what is he doing? Like, why is he with those? He's with the sinners. And so Jesus, in response, tells three stories to explain what he was doing and why he was hanging out with these people, that the reason he came to earth was those sinners. Like, he had come on a search and rescue mission to try to bring God's lost and wandering children back home to him and to the party. And each story Jesus tells of these three stories, each story ends with, you guessed it probably, a party. There's a party over finding a lost sheep, and a party over finding a lost coin, and a party over finding a lost son. And the lost sheep and coin and son represent God's lost children. People have kind of wandered away from a relationship with him, but God still loves them, no matter why they left, no matter where they went off to, no matter what they've done, and God wants them to come home and experience the party. In the last story, there's this son, and he goes to his father, and he says, I'm leaving. You're never going to see me again. Like, I am out of here. I am going to fight for my right to party. And that's what he wants to do. He's like, I want to party, and I want you to pay for it. And so he leaves home forever with his dad's money, and he goes off, and he parties. Not the kind of party that Jesus was talking about. Not the kind of party that I'm talking about today. He went out and parties like the kind of party that a lot of us are probably a lot more familiar with. The kind of party that might be fun for a while, but typically leaves you feeling worse, right? Where you might end the party in a bathroom on your knees, not because you're praying, and with your head in a place that a head was never intended to be, right? Like that kind of party. I remember when I was in high school in my first year or two of college, like my strategy for partying was I would start drinking really early, and periodically throughout the night I would make myself throw up so that I could drink more, because I didn't want the party to end with, you know, and be whatever, and so I'd make myself throw up. And you know, the thing was, I was just empty. And I wanted to be full. I wanted to feel full. Like, not of alcohol, but of, like, life. But I did not know how. I didn't know where to turn to find life. I didn't know how to fill myself with life. And so the best substitute I could find was alcohol. And so I filled myself with that. And maybe you've been there. Maybe you are there. Well, that's what this son does. He goes off and he parties, and it leads him nowhere. In fact, it leads him to a place where he is emptier than ever. And so finally he decides, I have to go home. And he thinks that because he sinned in such a great, grievous way against his father, there's no way his dad's going to take him back like as his child, but maybe his dad would like hire him to work out in the fields or something. And what he doesn't know is that his father's just been waiting for him to come home. And when he sees him, he welcomes him with open arms, and he throws a party. And the father represents God, and the friends, or the son represents us. And there's this great party going on. Well, it turns out the father in the story has two sons. And the older son shows up in the story when the party is in full swing, and he is angry. Like, he cannot believe that his father would throw a party for this wayward son. And that brother represents people who hate the idea that God loves sinners. Ironically, they don't recognize that they're sinners as well, and they need grace just as much as anyone else. And who hate the idea that the kingdom of God is a party. They hate that. And the religious leaders of Jesus' time, that's what they did. They hated it. And eventually they had Jesus killed, partly because of that. There's this other story where Jesus is in Luke 5, if you want to turn there in your Bible, if you have a Bible. But Jesus invites a tax collector to be one of his, like, 12 key followers, disciples, like his ministry apprentices who are preparing to become leaders in the church. Now, inviting a tax collector, like, you have no idea. Tax collectors were considered the most vile, evil, sinful people in the world, worse than everyone. And you think, sure, IRS, right? It's much worse than that. So at the time, what was happening was Rome was annihilating Jewish people. If you, as a Jewish person, continued to worship God instead of worshiping Caesar, they would kill you in a public and horrific way. Okay? And what the tax collectors were, they were Jewish people who sided with the Romans and were taking money from the Jewish people to fund the Roman army so they could go off and kill and annihilate more Jewish people. And they were the worst traitors you can imagine. They had rebelled against God and his people. They were despicable. And check out this story where Jesus invites one of them, the worst person you can imagine, to become one of his disciples. And look at what the disciple does. Chapter 5, starting verse 27. After this, Jesus went out and saw a tax collector by the name of Levi sitting in his tax booth. He's like in the act doing this horrible thing. Follow me, Jesus said to him. And Levi got up, left everything, and followed him. Then Levi held a great banquet, a huge party for Jesus at his house. And a large crowd of tax collectors and others were eating with them. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law who belonged to their sect complained to his disciples, "Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?" Jesus answered them, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Jesus, is there at this party with the tax collectors and sinners, and they're like, "This guy goes to parties, and he doesn't even care who he parties with." And Jesus is like, "That's exactly right. In fact, these sinners, they're the whole reason I came." And that's what the church is supposed to be, a party where everyone is invited, even those considered the worst sinners. There's a pretty famous preacher, pastor in Philadelphia named Tony Campolo, and one time he was invited to speak at a convention in Hawaii. Tough job, man. So, true story, the last 4 years, in either January or February, I get asked to speak at some stuff, conventions and stuff like that. The last 4 years, I have spoken in either the month of January or February in South Dakota, Nebraska, Edmonton, Canada, and Winnipeg, Canada. He got invited to Hawaii. I don't know what I'm doing wrong. But anyway, if you live in Philadelphia and you go to Hawaii, what happens is you wake up at 3 a.m. because like the massive time difference, right? And that's what happened to Tony Campbell. He woke up wide awake, couldn't fall back asleep, decided, I'll go walk around, maybe find some place to eat. So he goes walking. Every place is closed because it's the middle of the night. And finally he sees this diner. And it's this little dingy, dirty diner, but it was open. So he went in, sat down, big lunch counter, sat down right in the middle. There was a menu there. He said he would not touch it because it was like disgusting looking. And so the owner comes over. He's this like kind of short, fat, gruff guy smoking a cigar. And he says, "Hey, what can I get for you?" And Tony Campolo says, "Coffee and a donut." He says, "All right." And so he gets his coffee and donut. And the whole place was empty. But about 3:30, about a half hour later, it started to fill up. With women. Like these women started walking in. It was one and another. And pretty soon there was like 9 women. And they all sat at the lunch counter with Tony. He's like kind of surrounded by them. And at first he wasn't sure what was going on, but kind of looking at the way everybody was dressed and listening in on some of the conversations, he realized that they were all prostitutes who were done with their job for the evening and had all come to kind of see each other before they went off to sleep. And so here's this pastor sitting in a restaurant full of prostitutes, and so he's just kind of sitting there eating his donut when the woman sitting next to him turned to the lady to her left and said, "Hey, guess what? My birthday's tomorrow." And the lady sitting next to her said, "What do you want me to do about it? You want me to throw you a party or something? What, do you want a birthday cake?" And the first woman said, "Why do you have to be so nasty? I don't want a party. No one's ever given me a party in my whole life. I didn't want a birthday cake." Campolo heard that and listened in a little bit more, and pretty soon they started to leave, and there he is again sitting by himself in the diner. And he called the owner over. He said, "Hey, excuse me." He said, that woman who was sitting right next to me," the owner said, "Agnes?" And he said, "Yeah, Agnes." He said, "She said that tomorrow was her birthday. Hey, what do you think about maybe you and me throwing her a birthday party. Will they be here again tomorrow night? And owner said, they come in every night at 3:30. Yeah, they'll be here. And he said, what do you think about us throwing our birthday party? And the owner got this big smile on his face. He said, let me go get my wife. He went to the kitchen, brought her out, and his wife said, Agnes is a great woman. That is a great idea. We should totally throw our birthday party. And Tony Campolo said, awesome. He said, I'll get a cake. Harry said, no, I'll get a cake. I got the cake. Tony Campolo said, that's awesome. He said, could I decorate? The wife said, decorate to your heart's content. So the next night, Tony Campolo came in, put up streamers everywhere, big sign over the lunch counter that said, Happy Birthday, Agnes. And not only that, the wife had gotten the word out that they were going to have a birthday party for Agnes. And so it wasn't just like 8 or 9 prostitutes. Like every prostitute on the island showed up that night. It was just packed with prostitutes and Pastor Tony Campolo. And so they're all waiting for Agnes to show up. And finally, she opens the door and steps in, and everyone shouts, Happy birthday, Agnes! And she was stunned. Like, her legs buckled, and like two ladies came over and held her up. And she's just looking around, and everyone goes, Happy birthday. And they start singing, and she just starts shaking. She's like looking around, and she's confused, and she says, this can't be for me. And they said, it's for you. And they take her over to see her cake that they had made for her, and she said, that can't be for me. And they said, no, it's for your name's on it. Look at the cake, your name's on it. She said, I've never had a birthday cake. No one's ever thrown me a party my whole life. And she just starts weeping. And so Harry says, all right, enough crying. Come on, let's blow out the candles. She cannot compose herself to blow out the candles. So Harry says, I'll blow out the candles. And so he blows out the candles, and he gives Agnes the knife, and he says, hey, you need to cut the cake. And finally, she composes herself, stops crying, and she says, if it's okay, I'd like to keep the cake. If it's okay, I really would like to show this cake to my mother. And so everybody kind of looks at each other, and Tony Campolo says, that's okay. Yeah, you can do that. She says, thank you. Picks up the cake and starts walking out. And he's like, right now? And she says, well, my mother just lives 2 doors down. I just wanted to go show the cake to my mother, if that's okay. I'll be right back, I promise. I just need to show this to my mother. I've never had it. Can I just show this to my mother? And he said, yeah, go ahead. And so she goes off out of the restaurant, and here's Tony Campolo with a restaurant full of prostitutes again standing there. And they're just kind of standing in silence, just looking at each other. And Tony Campolo says, well, what do you say we pray? He later said, yeah, it seems like real weird looking back at it now. Yeah, but he did. He prayed. He said, I'm going to pray. And he prayed. And he prayed that Jesus would free Agnes from the life she was living. That God would help Agnes to know that he loved her and had a plan for her and a better life for her. And he prayed for all the women in that restaurant that they would all know that God loves them and has a plan for them, that there's something better for them. And finally, he ended his long prayer and he said, Amen. And Harry said, what are you? And Campolo smiled and he said, well, I'm a minister. And Harry said, you're a preacher? You did not tell me you were a preacher. What kind of church do you preach at? And Campolo thought for a second and he said, I preach at a church that throws birthday parties for prostitutes at 3:30 in the morning. And Harry said, no, you don't. There is not a church like that. If there was a church like that, I'd join it. Wouldn't we all? Wouldn't we all? And that is the kind of church that Jesus came to create. If people don't like it, I guess you can leave the Christian faith. But the one thing you cannot do, you cannot transform the church into something Jesus never intended for it to be. You can't do that. And Jesus said over and over, the church is a party. The church is a party. The church is a party where everyone is invited. The church is a celebration of God and his love and the community that he gives us. And it's a place where people who have been struggling with loneliness and despair find joy and laughter. And our job Our job is to get everyone to the party. If you're new around here, maybe just come a couple times, maybe today's your first time, maybe you don't yet really feel like you're a part of this, man, I hope you know that you are so invited. Like, we would love to know you and do life with you, and like, our greatest hope is that you will become a part of this and really join the party. If you've been around for a while, I need to ask you, especially today, who are you inviting to the party? Who are you inviting to the party? So next week is the official grand opening of us doing 4 services each weekend instead of 3. I realize we did it today, and you're like, what about today? Today was like, we considered it more of like a practice. I realize it's real. We're all real people. We're really here. But what we figured was, and this might sound counterintuitive, but it made sense to us, we knew that today would be a low attendance day for churches everywhere because President's Day weekend, 3-day weekend, people are out of town, Valentine's Day, people have plans. And so we thought, man, it's going to be low attendance that day. Let's add the service on that day so we kind of get one under our belt with a little bit less craziness other than the confetti and all that, and make sure we know what we're doing and we got everything, you know, taken care of, and then next week, like, let's get everyone here. And so, like, we have some, like, billboards and radio ads and stuff like that happening this week, and we have been talking literally since 4 months ago asking you guys, be thinking about, be praying about who can you get here on February 21st and 22nd, Sunday and Monday. Who can you get here? For 4 months, we asked you, give us some names and we'll pray for your names. Like, we'll pray for your friends. We are finally here. This is it. Like, next weekend, who are you inviting to the party? Who are you going to try to get to here to sit next to you? It doesn't need to be weird. You don't need to get all religious. I'm just be like, I go into an awesome church. You would really enjoy it, especially, I don't think you like church, go to church, that's why you would enjoy it. This is different, this is fun, and we are starting this brand new series. We're starting a series next week called 5 Easy Ways to Wreck Your Life, and it's going to be really good, practical help, fun. Like, your friends who don't go to church and don't necessarily believe in God, they will love it, okay? Great, so we designed the series, like, for you and your friends, and so who will you have sitting with you next week? The other thing we've been doing, we're going to do again this week, is we're putting invite cards on people's doors throughout neighborhoods around here. The idea is, it's much better if you can invite someone personally, but we don't know everybody. Like, there's going to be people in right around here who don't get invited because none of us know them. And so, like, let's at least let them know that we're here, that there's this party that they're invited to. And so we have stacks of 100 invite cards back at the Velcro Bar, and we're asking, would you please take a stack of 100? Or 2 or 3 or 4 stacks, and go out this week and go for a walk. 100 cards will take you about an hour unless you walk kind of fast, then it will take less. And just put them on doors. You don't have to, don't knock on doors, don't talk to people, just kind of wedge them in the doors so that people, when they get home, will see it. And we have had lots of people come to our church through putting cards in there. Lots of people. It works. And so if you would grab some of those cards, you could do it in your neighborhood, you can do a different neighborhood, you could go for an hour walk. It'll be great, man. You'll get in shape this week, and you'll help people find out about the party. So would you grab some cards on the way out? That would be awesome. One last thing. We're doing something kind of cool. This Friday night, we're going to do something that we're calling Prayer-a-palooza. We're calling it Prayer-a-palooza because, of course, we are. And I don't know. And what it's going to be is we're going to have a prayer event right here in this room at 6:30 on Friday night for about an hour. You might go, that sounds really boring. Are we just going to sit in silence? No, it's going to be cool. Like, we've got some fun plans. Prayer fun? Yeah, maybe. Check it out. And so, like, you're going to go around the building, you learn some different things about our church and our community and have different things to pray for. It's going to be a real fun night. And so I hope you'll be here on Friday night for Prayer-a-palooza. And then Prayer-a-palooza morphs into a prayer marathon. What we're going to do is we're going to have someone praying for 24 straight hours. We're hoping 2 people praying for nonstop for 24 straight hours, 1 hour at a time, not one person praying for 24 hours. And so what we're asking is, would you be willing to take an hour and take an hour to pray? You might be like, I have never prayed an entire hour in my life. This will be a first. Let's see how it goes. We'll give you things to pray about so you're not going to be like, what do I on vervecatalyst.org, we're going to have a list of a bunch of things that you can pray about during that hour, and just ask God to bless the different things we're talking about, and so if you would do that, if you would sign up for an hour, that would be awesome. We want to fill that thing up. You know, today we are celebrating 6 years of Verve, and man, looking back, like, it's been amazing. Like, looking back, we see about 300 people who have, for the very first time, put their faith in Jesus, given their lives to Him, gotten baptized. It's crazy. Our church has been a hospital. Like, we have had a bunch of marriages saved, and people who have been freed from addictions and from abusive relationships. We have people who would say that they found purpose or found peace for the first time in their life. Our church has been a family. Like, there are a bunch of people who have made meaningful friendships. And if you went around and talked to people, you would hear a lot of people say, this is the first time in my entire life, or some would say, the first time living in Las Vegas, that I found, like, a loving community to do life with. Like, people who really cared about me and I cared about them. Like, it's been awesome. And what's really awesome has been doing it with you guys. Like, it makes it so much fun getting to do it with family, getting to do it with friends. And so thank you for all of you who have put so much into this these last 6 years. And here's the best thing. The best part is that the best is yet to come. I totally believe that. Like we have had so many crazy, amazing stories, so much incredible stuff happen, and like there's more of it coming, and it's going to be even better. And I'm so glad that you'll be a part of it. Like, the best is yet to come. Our church is a party, and we need to get everyone to the party. So let's pray for that. All right, let's pray. God, what an incredible God you are. Like, it's kind of mind-bending. We're in a world where so many people have this stereotype of God as this crotchety old man who yells a lot and gives rules. And then Jesus comes and shows up to help us understand who God is and what he's looking for. And he tells story after story about God as this loving father who's inviting all of his messy, broken, sinful children to come home. And what they come home to is a party, story after story, party after party. What an amazing God you are, that you want us to celebrate and have joy and laughter and party together. God, thanks for this first day ever of doing three services. And we wondered, was anybody going to show up at 12 o'clock? And here's a room full of people who did. And man, it's been an awesome morning or afternoon, I guess. And God, we are so looking forward to what you're going to do next week as we get our friends here and in the weeks and months and years to come, because God, we know that because of who you are and your power, the best is yet to come. And God, I just want to say that all the credit, all the attention, and all the glory goes to you. You are the one who's done this, and you are the one who's going to continue to do great things. We thank you, we praise you, and I pray in Jesus' name, amen.